Alrighty, so we covered the rule of thumb. As always, we'll go back to the homework at the end. So I know that was on your sheet one, but we'll circle back to that at the end. So we are ready to move into the limit setting, why to use the three-step method. So this is your third sheet in your packet because you have that note sheet on the second page. So as you can see at the top, it gives you the reminder of the ACT. And so we remember that we acknowledge the feeling, we communicate the limit, we target the alternative. Here is why the way that we use the limit, the way that we phrase it, the wording that we use is so important. Because as you'll see in these examples we're going to go through, if we don't specifically word our limits neutrally and effectively, the child can interpret them completely differently and they can use it to their advantage. And we'll look over those in just a minute. But we want to make sure that we are very clear because we don't want there to be an unintended implication. We don't want there to be confusion, and we don't want there to be a power struggle that emerges as a result of the way that we would set the limit. So if you recall, when we talked through this, we said A is not for B, or X is for Y. That is the most effective neutral limit format. That's your framework, if you will, because then it becomes very clear you're not wrong for wanting to, it's just that this is not for this. So that is the very neutral, effective way to set limits. Let's look at some things that we as parents will often say to our kids, and then we'll process how they might interpret those inappropriately or inaccurately. So the first one, it's probably not a good idea to paint the wall. And this might be one of those videos where it's helpful for you to pause and write down what you think the message might be to the child. How might the child misinterpret that? How might they milk it? How might they divert attention away from the limit with that phrase? It's probably not a good idea to paint the wall. And sometimes this is a little hard, so I'm gonna give you the first one so that then maybe in the subsequent four, you can pause me and write down your thoughts. I wanna kinda show you what they're trying to get at here. So it's probably not a good idea to paint the wall. This is also a helpful moment to pause and discuss. You can focus on one or two specific words in these phrases to get how the child could misconstrue or misinterpret what you're trying to say. And then therefore there would be an unintended implication. So if we focus on the words probably not, it's probably not a good idea to paint the wall in here. The message that the child could receive, and most likely will, is, I'm not really sure if it's okay. It's probably not, I'm not really sure. It might be okay, it might not. There's a lot of ambiguity and there's a lot of unknown there. It's probably not a good idea, but it could be. So if we were to say, even using the ACT method, if we were to say, I know you really want to paint the wall, buddy, but it's probably not a good idea to paint the wall. You can choose to do this instead. The child's going to capitalize on it's probably not, but I think it is a good idea. Well, if you don't know, then I think it's okay. You're not sure if it is, but I think it's fine, so I'm going to do it anyway. So you can see how they will take it in a different direction than how you meant it, rather than the wall's not for painting on. Okay, so these next four I think you'll be able to try and you'll be able to get it. And I'll give you the word to cue into so that you can find what the message may be. So the second, you can't paint the walls in here. And the word to focus on in this particular instance is here. So you can't paint the walls in here. What might the child misunderstand or misconstrue from that? Okay, I'm hoping you have something along the lines of you might be able to paint the walls in another room, somewhere else in the house, because you can't paint the walls in here, but you could paint the walls in the living room or the kitchen or somewhere else. So in here is very specific, which means the child then can say, oh, well, if it's not in the den, it can be in my bedroom instead. And we don't want that to be the understanding of the limit. So you can't paint the walls in here. You might be able to paint the walls in another room. Okay, so let's try another one. I can't let you paint the wall. And what to focus on in this scenario is I can't let you. Can't let would be the two important words there. So write down what you think the message that they could understand from that might be. So in that scenario, I can't let you paint the walls. So what you do is my responsibility, not yours. I can't let you. I let you do lots of things, but I can't let you do this, which means I'm ultimately responsible for your choices, your behaviors, your decisions instead of you. And one of the biggest outcomes and the biggest goals of play therapy and using CPRT principles is that the child develops self-control and self-responsibility and self-regulation. So we never want to communicate something that says, what you do is my responsibility. It's never our responsibility. It is always the child's responsibility. So I can't let you paint the walls in here. That means it's on me. And we want it very much to be about the child. Okay, so let's look at the next one. Maybe you could paint something else other than the wall. And what you can focus on in this one is other than the wall. What do you think the child could understand from that? Okay, so maybe you could paint something else other than the wall. That could be the furniture, that could be the floor, that could be your sibling's face, that could be all kinds of things that also should not be painted in the house. So you could paint something else other than the wall. There's too much unknown, again, too much ambiguity other than the wall that leaves yourself open to so many inappropriate locations of where they might switch to paint instead. So we don't want them to paint the couch or the kitchen cabinets or anything else like that either. Okay, so finally, the rule is you can't paint the wall. I wonder what you think the child might interpret from that. The rule is you can't paint the wall. For that one, basically you're saying how you feel about this doesn't matter. It's a rule. I don't care. That's that age-old adage where, you know, we would ask our parents in earlier generations, you know, why can't I do that? Because I said so. That's very similar, along the same vein there. The rule is you can't paint the wall. How you feel about it doesn't matter. It's the rule, and that's the end of it. And there's no acknowledgement of you're not wrong for wanting to. I know that you'd like to. I know it would be fun to. So that is another unintended misinterpretation that the child could perceive as well. So I hope you see how the subtlety and the difference in our phrasing is very significant. And we talk again and again about this being a new language, and you are learning a new way of communicating. You are learning new phrases, new tools, new skills. That applies here too, because a lot of parents will say, you know, well, I said, oh, you can't paint the wall. And they think that that's an effective limit. And it is a limit, but it is not an ACT play therapy based limit. And when we say, oh, you can't paint the wall, or especially the rule is you can't paint the wall, the child feels powerless. They feel that they have no control. They feel that they're misunderstood. They feel defeated. And that's not the goal or the intention of CPRT. The goal and the entire premise of CPRT is I'm here, I hear you, I understand, and I care, no matter what is going on, and we're going to strengthen our relationship through this. So even when your child wants to paint the wall, you phrase this in a very specific way. I know you really want to, but the wall is not for painting on. You can choose to paint on paper, or you can choose to paint on the sidewalk with sidewalk paint. What do you choose? Well, that's very different. So the final example here is the way that we actually, using this method, would phrase it. So the wall is not for painting on. There's your A is not for B. And the message is what? I understand that you want to. You're not bad for wanting to. It's just not for anyone to paint on. So it's very clear there's respect and there's trust and there's communication and there's understanding in the ACT phrase, which is what we're working toward and what all of these skills are building, so that there are those increases in those areas in you and your child's relationship. So easy, kind of an extension of last week's limit setting to kind of give you a better understanding of why it's so important to phrase those limits neutrally and effectively. So that is the only new material for this week. That was an easy one, which is probably a relief because I know last week was very heavy. So you get a little bit of a break. And the final video for this week is to go over homework and what you'll do before we meet again. See you in the next video.